Hello, everybody. I don't know if there's anybody here. Let's see. Attendee. Hey, we got one person here. Nice. Two, three, four, five people are coming in. All right. This is fun. This is super fun. So the way this thing works is I have nothing. I got nothing. I'm here for you guys to answer all of your questions. I hope that you're having a phenomenal Christmas and New Year. There is, it's a great time of year. A little quieter usually, and we get to reflect on the year that's passed, which obviously this year is very interesting. And we get to think about what we want to create for ourselves in the new year, which is always fun and exciting. I definitely have some plans. So while I'm waiting for you guys' questions, type your questions in the Q&A, and then we will, I'll just answer them just on one by one. Liz says, hi from the UK. Hi, Liz. Yes, everybody, it's a great idea. Everybody say hi in the chat and let me know where you're calling in from. And while I'm waiting for your guys' questions, I can share one of my biggest, there was a whole, someone had pre-written a ton of stuff there, I think. Holy shit. hi, Liz. All right, there's a Q&A thing that you can throw questions in versus in the chat. So put questions in one by one in the Q&A, because then I can keep track of what questions I've answered. Okay, Liz, so throw it in the Q&A. Then I will answer them from there. Thanks so much. Yes. So one of my big learnings from 2020 is about team and building a team and hiring, and just how critical that is and how freaking hard it is. It is hard. We've grown, I forget the exact numbers. I think we grew from 20 to 30 this year, but we were up and touching 35 at one point. And a couple of tips that I've learned is, if at all possible, hire two for the same position, two at the same time. Why? Because it gives you a point of comparison. Like, the by far the biggest mistake I've done this year is hiring people that were kind of a question mark early on. And then I start doubting myself and I'm like, maybe it's just me. And I'm sometimes like, I can be very demanding. I am very demanding. I'm a super demanding boss and person. And so maybe it's just me being too demanding, and maybe it's not possible. Maybe we can work it out. We can figure it out. La, la, la. It never works out. So that's the other lesson is trust that gut instinct and voice it with other people on the team early on. So it's not like 3 months later, you go like, yeah, I kind of had a red flag there. I kind of had this feeling as well from the very beginning. And then you're like, well, why the hell didn't anyone say anything, right? So we've definitely been in that situation a couple of times. And the other thing is just, you're really trusting that intuition. So when you hire two, you have a point of comparison, right? So it can be part-time and it can just be for a trial period, but like, hire two to do essentially the same job. And it's very quick. You're quickly going to realize, oh, this person I really jive with this person, it flows, it's easy, it's fun. And with this other person, it feels like work, right? It feels like a slog. It feels like it's not really flowing. And so it helps you in having that point of comparison. And you can just be upfront about it. Like, a little healthy competition isn't bad either. So you're like, hey, I'm hiring two designers here for this thing. And like, whoever does the best work is going to win. I'm going to pay you both, but whoever does the best work is going to stay on. Right. So that can help keep people on their toes. I talked to someone who has an agency, a digital advertising agency, a Google Ads agency, and they do this all the time. They have two people for every role. They have pods of teams. So, you know, a graphic designer, you know, creative person, and a media buyer, and a whatever, I forget, like whatever roles they have on this team. And then they have two pods competing against each other on some of the same things, and they just see who's doing better. So you can really go far with that idea. So anyway, that's one of my key learnings. Just building a team is freaking, it's work. Finding the right people. You would think in this economy it's easy, but it's not. It's really hard to find the good people. And some of it is just, it's kind of the same. I was talking to a friend about people in relationships, right? And if you're single and you're my friend is 52 and she's single, and she's like, where are all the good men, right? Where are all the good men? Well, they're freaking married. They're in relationships, right? Right. So it's kind of like the good people are in jobs. They're not looking for jobs. It's not hard for them to find jobs. So most of the people that are available are just not going to be, I'm not saying they're bad people per such, but they're not going to be great team members. They're just not. And so of course there are some, they're out there, right? But a lot of, you have to sift through a lot, and then sometimes you can take a chance on people that are unproven. We have a phenomenal support team and some more support, phenomenal concierge team. And on those teams, we have very clear processes and procedures and training and all of that stuff. So we can take people in that have good personalities, good character, good ethics, good work ethics, attitude, et cetera. And then we can train them to be really good in their jobs. But for other more creative things where we're trying to break new ground, we've never done this before, that doesn't work as well. So that is, we try to take in some junior markers, and then, because we have all this training available, we have all this stuff that we can teach them. And then I was like, hey, go study this stuff and go implement it and learn and grow. And honestly, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. They learned a ton. They got paid to learn. We had, I think, three or four of those that we basically paid to learn a ton, and it just didn't work out for us. So I fear it was worth a shot, but it's hard, man. And I think especially this, the age that we live in, where it's easy to start on out on your own, that just means that a lot of those people that would be interested in that have that sort of entrepreneurial mindset of like, hey, how do we figure this out? And let's do this. And like, are excited to have that work ethic. They're probably going to start their own thing, right? So they're not going to be looking to be working for another company. Some are, but a lot aren't. So that's my a big part of my lesson here. Let me see here. Minish is saying, thanks, Calming. I tell my story, my client stories, my books. Stop hiring losers and million-dollar team secrets. Sounds like great books. Maybe I should read those. Share a link. I think we have a lot of people who could appreciate that. Lynn says hi from Pennsylvania. We got Connie from Denmark. We got Alfar from Denmark. We got Robin from Idaho. Welcome, Robin. I tell your story so often. I love that you're here. I appreciate it. We got Rekke from Denmark. Tom from California. Siobhan says, great idea. Yes. Brian from Denmark. Theodore from Switzerland. Yeah, that we were getting. All right. Remember to put your questions in the Q&A. I'm going to start jumping into the Q&A right now. So Liz has a, oh my God, we have a phrase at the company, which is wall of text, because, all right, I'm going to jump into a little sidebar here as well. So are you guys familiar with the Kolbe score, the Kolbe A index? I'll share mine. So that you can see, it's a great test. It tells you something about how you work, how you operate. We use it for new hires, right? So we use it when we're hiring new people. Let me see here, share screen. So here's my Kolbe. I have to remove some Zoom windows. So I'm a 3 fact finder, 4 follow through, 8 quick start, 6 implementer. So what does that mean? Fact finder, so we can scroll to the next page. I'm going to have to, she starts talking immediately. But in the fact finder, what that means is my fact finder mode is to simplify. So I don't process a lot of information. So we have this phrase that we use, which is the wall of text. When people send me a wall of text, I'm just going to go like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, it's not how I work. I need things like really, really like simplified. And I need people on my team who can be in that middle piece here and who can take in all the details and then simplify it down for me. And it's a lot of what I do is like simplify things that are big and complex, right? It's kind of what Simplero does. Follow through and quick start is like, you know, that entrepreneurial thing. So we need people on the team who are great quick starts and other people who are not. What did I do? What did I just do? I did something. Everything went black. My video went black. What the hell did I do? I hit something. Oh no. I don't know what's going on. I'll try to fix that in a second. All right, I'm assuming you guys can still hear me. So so we need people who are different here. Influencer is about how you handle space. So anyway, that is, what the hell did I do to my video? All right. I hit Command Shift B and apparently went to the wrong program source. Here we go. Blank. Oh, there we go. Camera. Here we go. I'm back again. This is the camera. There we go. Sorry about that, guys. So anyway, so we use the Kolbe score to, we have new applicants. We have them do the Kolbe. It's really helpful to figure out how are they going to fit on the team for the role that we have in mind. And so anyway, so wall of text. Thank you, Liz, for that wall of text. I'm going to try to go through it and see if I can make sense of it. Liz says, I'm building an online course with two other professionals. You're definitely not a low fact finder, I can tell. Self-development. An emotional toolkit with a framework, language, examples, and techniques, live and interactive. Target is USA-based corporate employees, full price, $49. Question one of two. Given the following challenges and opportunities, how would you frame a promotional strategy? Are challenges small list? Limited. Can we get Liz on? Do I have anyone here helping me out? Netta, are you here? Can we figure out how to get Liz on? Because this is... If not, while I'm waiting, to figure out whether we can get Liz on. All right, I'm gonna try. Our challenge, small lists, limited funds for paid advertising. Allow to talk? What happens if I do allow to talk? There we go. Liz, you're allowed to talk.
Should be here. I think
we have your video too.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, tell me, what can I do for you? So,
okay. So, I've been watching Carolina's Facebook advertising, and I realized that what I'm offering, what I'm preparing, is actually to build an online course within Simplero, and it's at $49. You got that? But we have some challenges around list size and stuff like that, which Carolina kind of gave me the idea that Facebook advertising wasn't going to work for.
And why did she say why?
Yeah, she said that her first thought is that Facebook advertising is really good when you're trying to amplify an existing working product that's proven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she did say that on the side that there were some sort of low ticket products that could work. So maybe mm-hmm. this is one of those, I don't know. So then we have a small list and a small budget. And of course there's more learning to be done yet because you've got other classes coming up that I haven't seen yet. But I'm trying to work out when to spend money on things like Facebook, Google, or what else we should be doing in the meantime.
Yeah, I mean, affiliate partners, right, is the obvious answer here. You don't have to pay them on, you know, except when they make a sale, typically, right? You give them a commission, a percentage of sales, and you're paying your friends, your peers, instead of paying Facebook and Google, which, you know, they don't need more money. So that's definitely how I would start. Just, you know, make connections. Who else has access to your audience? Whether that's email, social media, podcast, whatever. Email is obviously best. And then make friends with them and make them an offer. more sophisticated affiliate partners are also going to be hesitant to promote something that's unproven, right? They want to see numbers. What are the conversion rates on your opt-in pages, your sales pages, your nurture sequences, all that stuff. But if you find some people who you have relationships with, or you can build relationships with that are exciting, are excited about it and like want to support your mission, you can totally get them on board and get them to mail for you.
Mm. And what about your nurture sequence? How long do you nurture before you can hope for some sort of, investment by them, opt-in,
Yeah. So not long, right? Usually like if they're, you want to strike while the iron's hot. So you want to get them while they're hot. Like typically a week or two, you may see that additional sales are coming dripping in, but it's more about like, if they didn't buy right now, why? Like, is there some belief that they need to have that you need to sort of install? What do they need to believe in order to buy, right? And so if they didn't get it on the sales page, maybe they weren't or just busy, but they were interested enough that they, got your lead magnet. So you have to have a lead magnet that talks to the top or to a major frustration that your ideal audience has. And ideally you want to have a lead magnet that talks to a frustration that only they have, right? Someone who's not an ideal client wouldn't have this frustration. So if you can identify what those are, so that are really, particular frustrations that they have, then that would be your lead magnet. And then it's a matter of figuring out like, what is it that they believe or not believe? And in the beginning, to get this going, you just need high touch. You need, talk to people, get them on the phone or on Zoom calls, interview them. Like who are they? What are their fears, frustrations? And you can use some Google ads for that. You can have some Google ads that can help you get some people in the door. But again, there, it's a lot better if you can get them from some affiliate partners. And because like with Facebook or Google ads, like a lot of the leads that you get are going to be crap probably. Right. And so it's especially being, because like the way that they work is algorithmically, right. They learn to dial it in or not even algorithmically, but like machine learning, they learn to dial it in over time. So yeah. Robin Green here says, and this is one of the stories I love to tell, is she says, I had only 60 people on my list and launched with affiliates and made 60K.
Hey guys, yes, I'm back. I don't know what the hell happened. I got a message from Zoom saying that your meeting has been canceled because another meeting started on this account. Like this whole, so apparently I'm logged in using my account, but this webinar is scheduled on Beth's account, but she's not, because she's the one that has the webinar feature, and she wasn't gonna use this. Anyway, I don't see, well here, yeah, I think I see Liz. Yeah. Anyway, Liz, did you get an answer to your question? Because then, yes, everything is exactly as it should be. Happy to say more. Wait, Liz disappeared. Anyway, all right, so more questions, guys. Give me some more questions so we have something to talk about. This thing doesn't work. There's Liz. I think this is the same Liz, right? Yes, it's, hey Liz, did you get an answer? All right, she says pretty much. All right.
Sorry, yeah, I did say pretty much. That's good, thank you.
All right, cool, all right. Now I have to get this one thing going. All right, thanks a lot.
What do I do then? Disable talking. the powers that I have. All right, subject matter is like, Aaron is saying subject matter, miss the subject matter. Anything business strategy, coaching wise, etc. Brian. All right, Brian, let's get you on. you are coming on now. Brian says, should I promote my webinars? And again, throw them in the Q&A if you can. Oh, here we go. There's one in the Q&A. Here we go. Thanks. Robin has one. Brian,
yep.
Go.
Yeah, well, I've been...
Robin.
Yep.
Go for it.
I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts on promoting my content? I do weekly blog posts with high-quality content. I've been doing Facebook ads for my live webinars and inviting my list. But what are your thoughts on stopping all that and just promoting Facebook ads, my content, my blogs, in order to build my list, and then use that list in order to send invites for my webinars afterwards or later on?
Right. Yeah. So my first question would be like, how is it currently working? How's the blog post working? Are they converting into emails or?
Yeah, I have call to action on all of them, like free ebooks, guides, all that. So yeah, that works. Yeah.
So why would you stop doing that if it's working?
Well, what I'm wondering is to stop paying for Facebook ads to get signups for my live webinars, and only do and instead. Do Facebook ads for my blog post. So paying to get traffic for my blog post, and then right. build my list and use that list to invite for my webinars.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah. Honestly, not sure. Okay. I don't think I have a good,
fair enough.
You know, yeah. Test it. Right. Sure. Yeah. I'm a fan of avoiding paying money for traffic if we can, but I mean you're paying somehow with your time or something, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, let me think for a sec. Yeah, I think it would be test, right? If you're the goal is to get people on a webinar, right? And right now you're doing Facebook ads straight to registering for a webinar. And you're thinking maybe it would work better or cheaper if I do Facebook ads to
blog posts.
Possibly, to blog yeah. posts that then promote, that get people
merge into list building. Then, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the advantage to that is that you get more relationship with people, right? There's more exactly engagement. Point, they've yeah. read some more of your stuff, and then
yeah.
they presumably get some emails. And I could definitely see an advantage to that. Depends on execution and
yeah.
you know,
I'll try it, I guess.
How it works. Yeah. You can definitely try it. Yeah. And you can tease the webinar in like maybe two. That's can be a good technique of just, you know, I don't know if it makes sense, right? But in the blog post or something like, you know, depending on if you're going straight from the email to the webinar.
No, not at all.
Well,
no.
Then.
I'm very soft on that.
Right. But then you can like, as I, you know, discussed on my last webinar, blah, 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 blah. Right. So you're kind of just mentioning that there is a webinar thing. You're priming people for yep. like, or like this person who attended one of my webinars and then they had this epiphany or this result or this other thing. And you're just kind of, you're just kind of dropping it in there that exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Cool. Let's do Robin next. Robin, are you ready to come on? I will. See if I can figure this out, Robin. Here we go. Let's see. A lot of talk. There we go. Robin, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. It's so great to see you. Or not, I can't see you, but hear your voice.
Yeah. So, okay, my question is,
moved to Idaho. That's exciting.
Oh yeah, we're celebrating 1 year yesterday. So
nice.
Love it. Yeah.
So beautiful. Yeah. From California.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
From California.
A lot of people moving out of California and New York too.
Yeah. Yeah. For good reason.
you're ahead of the curve. Always ahead of the curve.
I would like to think that's true. I don't know how true that really is, but
yeah.
So my target audience is very specific. So I'm targeting acupuncturists, and for my last webinar, I did run a Facebook ad to have people sign up for the webinar. But when I target them, the most number I can get is about 58,000. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't ran my ad for a couple of weeks. I had 65 people register from the Facebook ad. And from there, it gets a little murky as far as how many actually came to my webinars. And then I only had one person sign up for like the workshop and then my coaching program that ran from it. So my question is, like, with such, it didn't feel like it was a success to me having only one person like actually go all the way through my funnel. Mm-hmm. So is there a way to optimize for such a small list, or is it, you know, should I even bother doing it again for my next workshop and webinar and workshop?
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, like I don't have particularly good experiences with Facebook. We're not running anything right now, Facebook ads or Google ads for that matter. We haven't been able to really make it work for us. So at this point, I've just stopped it all and revisiting. We may revisit it at some point, and obviously I'm interested in this whole customers on tap and what they're doing, and there are people that are having great success with it. So we know it's possible, right? So personally, I wouldn't, right? It's that, like, to make it work, my experience has been that you have to really know, you have to know what you're doing. You have to be committed, right? You have to keep dialing in and keep dialing in. And like you're saying, for an audience as small as yours, it's probably my guess would be it doesn't make sense. Again, like I would ask someone like Dylan, who's doing one of the workshops, I'd ask him about this specifically when it comes to Facebook, because he knows a lot more about that than I do. But yeah, no, I would probably, I think, like, just, you know, networking and affiliate partnerships, as you've already done, and content, like creating that destination where people who are into acupuncture comes to for free. That could be a free Facebook group. Rachel Miller's workshop, you should check that out for how to do Facebook groups. That I think that could probably work really well for you.
Yes, I do have actually a large Facebook group, but I've had trouble monetizing that group.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. When is Rachel's talk? Do you know?
I don't remember. I don't remember. No. But she's great. Super, super sweet and super smart. And like, she's, you know, I'm in this war room mastermind with her, and she's blowing the socks off of some of these, like, quote unquote, very sophisticated marketers out there with what she's doing. And it's just, it's not that complicated. Liz says Friday, January 15th.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm super excited to see that workshop myself. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
What's your audience that you've built up over the years here?
You mean how big?
Yeah.
I think it's about, like, with just acupuncturists now, I'm at about 5,800.
Okay, so you got like 10% of the market, it seems like.
I do.
that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then, yeah, so I mean, acupuncture is no other acupuncturist, right? So, like, I think, like, that network, more like getting other people to talk about it, getting your list to talk about it and tell others about it, and getting them interested in referring people to you. And, you know, you don't have to pay them commission. You can, you know, just incentivize in other ways, just because of the mission, right? Or something else. And then, you know, additional, you know, selling more to the same people.
Right. Yeah.
Helping them in more ways.
Yes. That's good. That gives me things to ponder. Appreciate it.
All right. Good. Thanks, Robin. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right, cool. Here we go. And then what do we got? We got Aaron was asking about abundance mindset and Elfar. If you would do me a favor and make sure you put your Aaron and Elfar, put your questions in the Q&A, because then I can keep track of it. It's much easier that way. Okay, cool. Liz wants to know. Okay, so all right. Aaron says she doesn't need to talk. All right. Liz wants to know, what's your zone of genius you want to share with us on these calls? It's a great fucking question, honestly. Yeah, let's get Liz on again. Let's see here. Boom. Hey, Liz.
Hey, sorry, me again.
Yes, it is.
So I guess my question was, you know, this is the first time really I've had anything to spend any time with you, so I'm getting to know you. And you've done these calls offered these calls as part of the package, and because you believe you've got something to offer. And I'm just sort of keen to know, you know, what it is you reckon that you want to share, where it is that you're going with this. Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been doing business my whole life, right? Entrepreneurship my whole life. Business strategy, I've been doing online courses and memberships and you know, that type of business for been in that world for 12 years now. Life purpose, direction, mindset, you know, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual maturity. Those are sort of my topics. Those are the things that I'm interested in and that I've been pursuing for years.
Yeah.
So yeah. That aspect. And here, obviously, when it comes to business, when it comes to information business, right? Specifically, but really anything in that area.
Cool. Well, I'll just say that the spirituality aspect of this is why I purchased Simplera in the first place.
Nice.
I really appreciate you doing that. And also knowing that right now, getting into the market, I feel anyway, getting into the market seriously in the corporate space is kind of untouched because, and I don't mean to corporates themselves, I mean to the people who are employed in the corporates. It's kind mm-hmm. of untouched because they look for their training within the organization rather than externally. And mm-hmm. there's this great big gap in their own personal development. So it's a space which I know is sort of untapped. And so when I look at my own space, I realize there's very few role models in this, very few people doing the same thing. So that means the algorithms aren't there. And, you know, so I'm just feeling my way on this, and guess that I know you've broken ground in your own field too. So I guess I'm looking to you for a bit of those insights. I'll know better how to ask a question next time.
All good. Yeah. So I mean, it's much more fun to speak with each other rather than trying to like answer something that's, you know, in writing. So, but I think you're right that there is a big untapped potential. The disadvantage obviously is, you know, well, they can expense it, right? They can get their employer to pay for it potentially, or they can pay for it themselves, in which case they can't deduct it tax-wise, right? So that, you know, price points are typically going to be lower depending on what it is. But I definitely see that, you know, why wouldn't you, if you work somewhere, why wouldn't you want to invest in yourself, in your own value in that marketplace, so that you can get a promotion or get a better job somewhere else, or just, you know, improve your life, right? So I think, yeah, there has to be a market. And I'm sure there must be people doing that already. Otherwise, that would be scary.
There are, but a lot of people, I think, are going directly to the employer and catching the employer's spend on that because of the governance piece around that. But, so, look, it's just an interesting kind of part where I'm heading is untapped, I think, which is awkward.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to get Brian on again. Let's get Brian on here.
Hey.
Hey there. Yeah. ask your question.
Okay, thanks. My product is fairly comprehensive. It's a 12-month program with a weekly group live group coaching calls, six on-demand courses, and lots of stuff. It's a $1,000 program, and I'm just wondering if I should have within the same membership site a free or a very cheap entry-level package somehow, and then upsell from there.
Right. What is it you're teaching for that?
Sales, business sales, solution selling.
Got it. Okay, because like the $1,000 price point sounds kind of low for how much is involved in it, right? Until 12 months and everything.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
Yeah, like I would expect more of a 10K price point or something like that. But yeah, I think it does make sense. Again, the free Facebook group kind of idea, but then you can do it as a membership site. I do think that makes sense. Give people a taste of it. Give people, build some relationship. Give people some wins, and then have lots of you know stories. And again, you can tease the higher level and examples of people who have success with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could look great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it, sir. All righty. Cool. Let's see here. Aaron was asking, any future plans to that scheduling? Yes. And there is a plan for that. Let me see. Rachel, let's get Rachel on. Yeah. Rachel Pullen. Let's see here. Boom. Here we go.
Hi.
Rachel.
Hi. So I have I actually have a physical company. We run craft workshops. And nice. In the first lockdown, I did the course launching course.
Right.
And I got my first two online courses launched, which was amazing. We had a really successful launch. And then it all kind of went a bit, you know, sad when I was opening up my business again and just trying to juggle it. Now I'm in London, so we're back in lockdown. So I'm now refocusing on getting them back, you know, trying to work it again. And one of the things I did, so the first time I launched it to my list, which I had quite a sizable list, and we did really well from that. And the second time I launched it, I did a 3-day free challenge. I got about 120 people signed up to the free challenge, but I only got 12 of those signed into the actual course, the paid for course. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering whether I do that again,
And what did you do the first time?
So I did it through. Oh, so the first time I got 26 people on the course through directly from my own list, and then half of them went on to do my second course, which ran alongside the next lot on the first course. So it was all doing quite well, and then I just got a bit waylaid.
Right.
But I think I paid through Facebook adverts to do the free challenge. I did get a lot of people from it, but not that many of them signed up. So I don't know that overall I've actually made that much money. Have you had any success with doing the free challenges?
Yeah, yes and no. So here's our experience has been. We did the course launch challenge, which was $100. And we had a lot of success with it in terms of like people were really excited, people really liked it, and we were able to drive sales of that, or you drive people into those challenges from our own list and from our partners. But we were not able to make anything. Like we basically sold almost nothing via Facebook, like 3 or something out of like I think we had 150 people in the challenge the 3 times we ran it. The goal for us with it was to find a way to make paid traffic work. And so that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And so we restructured it into what ended up being unfortunately called the Laptop Lifestyle Challenge, which I regret that. And that was, I forget what that was price point wise, if it was also like $100 or if it's free, I honestly forget. That was run by some people on my team. So I wasn't super detail involved, but bottom line on that. And then that the idea was to do a shorter one, because the feedback we got on the long one was that it was just too much stuff to do in the 3 weeks that you had for it.
Yeah.
So we did that one, which is 5 days, which is just like outline your course and other stuff. And then we had a back end on that, whether we sold, did not perform. We got way too few people in the challenge. So like the day that the challenge actually started, actually the day the marketing for the challenge started, or like the day after the marketing started, we knew that it wasn't going to work out. So the challenge itself has been really successful, right? But the challenge as a vehicle to drive paid traffic has not for us. And again, I know that it is for others. Others are having success with this. I think it's in the details. The challenge with paid traffic to a challenge is that it has a specific start date. Right. So if you're running it once a month, as we did it, we talked to Pedro, who did the Crush It with Challenges, and he's like the new quote unquote challenge king. Right. So I spoke with him and he was like, don't start advertising more than a week, maybe 10 days out before the challenge. All right. So that means you basically have one shot to get this right. Right. Like your copy and your creative and your targeting and all of these things. If it doesn't work on day one, it's really hard for you to figure it out in time. Right. So that was the thing that we didn't get. I was like, guys, you need to be, I don't know how you do it, but you need to be testing this the other 20 days of the month so that we don't end up on the day that we turn on the ads and now nothing's, they're not converting. They're not working. Right. Like the week, and then it'll be a month till we can try again. The whole game is rapid testing. So yeah, we were not able to do that.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And I know from like Roland Frazier over at War Room, they've done their challenges, which has been, you know, very successful. They did the Epic challenge, which did $800,000+, you know, with the back end and all of that. But again, mostly to warm traffic, right? So again, I don't know the latest on how they're doing on cold, but like when they launched it the first time and made that, you know, 800,000, whatever it was, that was mostly to warm traffic, you know, leads, email lists that they already had, and just, you know, Facebook audience and that kind of stuff, right? So
yeah, because that's the thing. I think the first time I ran my challenge, it was going to all of my Facebook followers and all of my warm traffic.
Exactly.
And then when I tried to do it again, I didn't get anyone, just nobody.
Right. Did you launch them to the same like that same warm audience though? Because like there might be people who didn't buy the first time who'd still be interested, right? Because we did three launches to the same list to our partners, and we got about 150 every time.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Especially now that we're back in lockdown and it's January and people are quite keen. I'm going to try and relaunch it to all the same people, see if we can get some more.
And I think we had people do it multiple times actually, because they were like, hey, this is like, I want to launch another course, or like it didn't work out the way I wanted the first time, so I want to do it again, so let me just join again, right? Because the community and the accountability and all of that stuff, we had people there that are very seasoned course creators, but again, like the chance to learn something new, some accountability, some momentum, some community, right? That why not, especially like if you do your challenge in a way where it makes sense, right? Like that people could do it more than once.
Yeah.
Funny story. So I was talking to someone who was into film, David Cameron, I think is his name, right? Cameron. He was a film director for Titanic and for Avatar, which are both in the top 10 of highest grossing movies ever. And the thing that he did was he studied what makes people watch a movie more than once. What makes people want to go back and watch the same movie in the theater like, you know, 2 days later.
Yeah.
And that's how he designed his movies, right? So that's how you get that, like those, like that's one way at least to get a super high grossing movie is to get people to watch it over and over again. Not everybody's going to do that, but certain people are. So.
Excellent. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks, Rachel. All righty. I'm going to skip. So this is a coaching call. So we're not going to talk about Simplero product features or anything like that, but I'll gladly talk to Robin again, but let's talk to Thom first, shall we? Thom, let me see if I can find Thom. Answer live, and then wouldn't it be cool if there's a button next to Thom's name? This is another thing that I would love to do is build this stuff into Simplero just to make this super easy. We're building in Zoom integration. Now I'm talking about features, but Zoom integration is launching very soon, but it would be nice to make this easier. Thom, are you here? And can I talk to you? I can't. I cannot. All right. I'm going to skip Thom. Let's see here. Christy, can we get Christy on? Let's see here. Well, I can answer Thom's question now that we're talking about it. So he says, I'd love your top three current recommendations for a coach to build a list with highly qualified prospects so I can get customers on tap. If you want my personal, so we did customers on tap because we asked people on our list, what do you want to learn about? Like, what do you want? Like, if we could make you an offer, what would it be? And everybody was like, Facebook ads, like number one by far. Everybody loves their Facebook ads. And so who am I to say that you shouldn't do Facebook ads? Like, I get it. If you want to learn Facebook ads, we'll teach you Facebook ads, right? So we rounded up the best experts that we know that are having success with Facebook ads. And again, I know it can work. It's just never worked for us. And philosophically, like, I would rather pay money to you guys to promote some of our stuff than I'd pay it to you know, Mark Zuckerberg and the Google boys, right? So, so my personal is partners, affiliate partners, traffic partners. Like, make friends with people who have lists and say, hey, will you promote my stuff? And I'll give you a cut, or will you promote me my stuff? Because I'm a good guy and I do good stuff, right? And your list is going to be happy with it, right? So if you're adding value, if you're being of service, like, you know, if you're being a good person, people are going to want to hang out with you and you know, do business with you. So that's my personal is partners any day of the week. It's just wonderful. So that would be my top 1, 2, and 3 recommendations to build a list. Offer, go find people, figure out what problems the people on their list in their audience has, and then go solve that for them. And you can ask for nothing in return. Excuse me, you can ask for an email address. You can go straight through the sale and get a commission. Either way is fine, but that would be my answer. All right, let's see if we can get Christerly on here. Boom, boom, boom. There we go. Christerly is there, allowed to talk. Oh, you're using an older version of Zoom, so I have to promote you to panelists. I'll do that. Now you're being promoted to panelist. Here we go. Hey, Christy, what's up?
I feel like I just got promoted to a panelist.
You did. How does it feel? Does it make you feel, I know, right? All right, what can I do for you?
I'm on this old Chromebook, so.
Got it. It's all good. What can I do for you?
I'm not sure if this is quite on topic because I came a little bit late, but I have launched a course, which is mainly an in-person course with some video and reading content that people do before they come to class. And so I'm wanting to turn the class into a self-study program, mm-hmm. which would be a downsell, and then whatever money people pay for the self-study can be applied to them actually coming to class later.
Okay.
So I would like the self-study class to be as interactive as possible. And I would like to be able to outsource some of the interactions to my faculty.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how to do that.
All right. Like, so we talking, so technically how to do that or at what level? Because yeah.
Yeah, like if I said, okay, I want to have a team of five people who can all respond to my students when they answer their quizzes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that doable on Simplero?
All right. So support questions, I'm going to refer you to the support team because that's what they do all day. So yeah, okay. Business or strategy or mindset or that kind of stuff, that's what we're talking about here.
Okay, great. So for a self-study program, for my pricing, I'm thinking of having the main course is $3,700 for the early bird. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking of the self-study as $700, mm-hmm. which then they could apply to the other course later if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. How does that sound to you for a 4-month? The full course is a 4-month coach certification, mm-hmm. and the self-study course doesn't have a credential with it. It's the content without the face-to-face.
Got it. Yeah. So how do the price point sound? Good question. I think it depends. It depends on your goals. Is the goal to get people to buy the bigger one? And so it's not really about the revenue for the $700. Another thing you can do is use it as a thing where you give a higher affiliate commission on the lower price thing, right? And then that attracts a lot of people and that makes it appealing. You can even give 100% affiliate commission on that because you know that you're going to convert a certain number of them to the higher end, right? So now you're getting more people in there. The thing that you don't want is that it cannibalizes your high end, right? So that like people choose the self-study because and you lose out on the extra $3,000 in this case. I mean, it sounds like the right range, whether it's 500 or 700 or something, it's probably not like 50, right? And it's probably not mm-hmm. 2000. So I think you're in the ballpark for sure. But thinking about how you use it strategically, that would be the key.
Right. Yeah. I will think about that more because I have probably multiple goals. And I guess part of my question too is it better to have one goal versus many? I'm just thinking that like I lived in Kenya for 11 years and I have a lot mm-hmm. of people that would like to take the class that can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And so I could have one of the goals be like, you can take the class without having to pay as much money and still right. get a huge amount of the content. So that's a mm-hmm. really different message than
right.
take the full course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you could do there is just have a special third world country price, right? Where you just make that explicit. Hey, I really want to support, you know, personal growth in the third world. If you are from a third world country, you can get whatever it is, your lower priced or your higher priced at a discount, you know, just like a student discount or something else.
So then have it be like wherever their IP address is, they would have like a different.
I would just make it an honor system, honestly. Uh-huh. Like, hey, if you're in a third world country, like, and if you're someone who is I'd make it an honor system.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell people. And you could have it so it's not like you can describe it somewhere else. It's not like an option that you see on the order form, right? But it's a price. It's a link that you have to know exists and find that and just, hey, like, you know, and you can just write that into one of the emails, you know, hey, if you're in a third world country and you're short on cash and you would like this, hey, get in touch or click this link or something like that, right? So that you can kind of screen people a little bit. But that way you can make it explicit. Hey, I'm here to serve. And this is one of the ways that I do it.
Right. I had asked another question. I can't remember what it is anymore.
Go ahead. There's one here. What are the most important building blocks of a meaningful course that sells? Right. I haven't taken a lot of online courses, so I'm wondering what people are expecting.
So I kind of built this class. I had intended to launch it in October in face-to-face, but then when COVID hit, I did it all online. Mm-hmm. But I live in a really small town in France and my video and audio is not the best bandwidth. And so my question is, like, let's say that I do get a lot of traction with the self-study course. Would it be worth my while to really upgrade the audio and video quality, or are people just going to be like, this is really life-changing content and thank you so much? I still want to take your
question. I would say yes. I'll say yes to both. I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't invest in it. It's not that expensive. It's like you need a good internet connection and a good camera and a good microphone. Like these are not like, you know, for the price of one of your higher end courses, you're done, right? You've got that covered, I think. So I would do that. It's just, you know, you're gonna look better. Well, it's gonna feel better.
I don't have a lot of options here. Like the internet just doesn't come all the way to my house. They've got fiber optic cable that's been dug for a year and it's just not here.
So. Got it. Yeah, so I mean, so if the internet, you can't do more, then you can't do more, right? So, but the just video and audio quality in terms of the recording, you can do, and then you can record stuff and put out, and then like live classes are gonna be live classes. And it's going to be that the quality that it is, but yeah.
It sounds like you're saying, like,
but again,
because I'm just thinking the price point again. If somebody sees something for $700 and there's occasional glitches in the video or something, what is your feel for, do people care or not?
Some people care and some people don't, right? So you can just be like, well, one of my values is that doesn't matter. And if that's a problem for you, I'm going to give you a refund and we'll be, you know, you'll be on your merry way. Right. So, I invest as you can see here, I have a DSLR camera here. I have like three lights. I have the background that are all designed for video. So, you know, I have a good microphone here and an audio interface and all that stuff. So I invest in that stuff because I feel like it matters. At the same time, we're all on Zoom these days and we're used to seeing, like, even on like, primetime TV, we see people getting interviewed on Zoom and Skype and their video is crappy and there's, you know, audio feedback and stuff. So we're used to that. So yes, what matters is the life-changing content, but it's also, it can get in the way and you know, so it's up to you what you want to do. I would personally invest in it if possible. There's one course I was listening to the recording of, and the guy was like snorting every like few seconds. It was like, and then he was like, talk some more, and then talk some more. I'm like, driving me mad, right? So, but you know, the content was worth it. So,
So what I did so far, well, we don't need to belabor it, but I just put subtitles and then I'm just trying to decide if I want to re-record all my videos, if I do ever get fiber optic in or not, or just say, you know, I don't have to be a perfectionist about it.
You can record locally. I'm using a program here called Ecamm Live, ECAMM Live. And so I'm actually, so that's actually recording locally in like full on quality what's going on here, while Zoom is also recording in the cloud. So the ECAM is just going to record my video and my audio, not yours. So it's going to look weird because whenever you're talking, I'm just like staring. But it's we can use that for other things, right? So you can do that kind of thing too, where you're recording it locally as you're doing it, and that's going to be in full quality, and then you can use that later. So then you're just missing the whatever interactive pieces, right?
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. You got it. All right. Thank you so much. And now you're going to be no longer a panelist, I think. If I can figure it, remove. What happens? Chat stops. Make co-host. Change role to attendee. There you go. Bye-bye, Christy. I think we, did that work? I'm not sure if that worked. All right, here we go. So other people are, Heather saying, I have two children, a small apartment, a screen behind me, a solution. Yeah. Lighting is really important, right? So if you're backlit, that's terrible. Again, I have these three, if I turn off the lights, you guys can see that the difference that makes. So here's without the light. So this is what that looks like. Now it's gonna take a second to refocus. So just quite a difference, and then I can adjust that setting, but it's a different experience. So three lights, I have the one on the, well, not right now actually, but usually I have the one on the left turned down a little bit. So it gives more of a, it gives a little bit more shade on that side. So lighting is important. I would invest in those things. It just makes you look better. But again, don't let it hold you back, right? Don't let it stop you. Because when we're doing these things, it's so easy to get into that, like, oh, perfectionism thing, right? Like, oh, this needs to be perfect. And what if someone criticizes me for this? Or what if the truth criticizes me for that? So no, someone's going to criticize you, okay? So get over that. Like, someone's going to be upset no matter what you do. So that's fine. Just ignore that. Don't let it hold you back, and don't freak out with the lockdowns. Breathe. They say, Fritz Perl said, fear is excitement with the breath held. So you want to breathe, you want to have some nice, good, deep breaths, and then just do it. Is the lighting from ECAM or is it form ECAM? It's the lighting is just like cheap LED lights from Amazon that I have there. And then I use, yeah, that link. Okay, let's see here. Tom, all right. Dismiss. There we go. Tom says, I'm hearing a lot of marketing strategies that have not worked for some player. What is actually working well on a consistent basis? What is working well on a consistent basis is referrals and partners and other forms of referrals. That's the stuff that's working for us. So, blurring the background. Mari is asking about blurring the background. I have a $800 quality lens. So if you go to my blog, calincarelli.com, and hit search, you can find a blog post on my video setup. So I invested in this, and just the figuring out how to do it was a major project, but then it's totally worth it for me. So I'm very happy with that. Let me see here. All right, let me see here. Liz is saying, have you seen anything in online meetings recently which is exciting or different? No, not really. I hate the online stuff, to be honest. I was ready to get an office in Manhattan at the beginning of this year, and then the pandemic hit. I'm going to get an office in Manhattan at the beginning of the new year. Rents are down. Going to start to hire some more people here in New York City. I hope there's still some folks left to hire from. Honestly, I haven't really seen anything that I found particularly exciting. Dan Martell did some intensives with DJs and like, I don't know, stuff. And I'm just not into it. I'm not. Let me see here. Rachel, are you still here, Rachel? Then I'll get you on. Rachel.
Hi.
Hey, again. Yeah.
Yeah. So my question was this year, this time last year, I had all of these really exciting plans, and I'd actually got onto Simplero because I wanted to do online courses. And then when the first lockdown hit, I got and did the online courses, and I thought, you know, I was sort of following that. And now I've realized that actually I need to focus more on the physical side. So we will do the online courses as well, but actually our physical studio spaces are really where it's at. And I'm, you know, thinking it expanding, and it can be really exciting. And then you hit another wall of, there's another lockdown, there's another thing. How do you actually stay positive when every time you make plans, then the world is crashing down around you going, no, you can't do that. You have to wait another 6 months.
Yeah.
Do you have any top tips?
Well, I think number one, focus on what you can do and what you have to be grateful for, and not on the things that you can't do and the things that suck, right? There's plenty of things that suck, but you know, the fact that we're here, that we have time and ability to be together in this call right now and spend time together, and you know, we're healthy and upright. It's like, it's pretty amazing, honestly, like pretty fantastic. So celebrating those things. I love Byron Katie. She has several books. Loving What Is sort of her first. If you haven't read any of her stuff, I highly recommend it. Just about
What's
questioning.
Her name?
Byron Katie, BYRON, and then Katie, KATIE. So her she has several books and lots of audiobooks too. The audiobooks are great because she's usually speaking them herself, and you can hear real dialogues. But she's all about questioning her thoughts and living in harmony with what is, with reality, right? So all of those ideas that say it shouldn't be like this, right? The world shouldn't be this way. Well, it is. It is. and it should be this way. And the way that I know it should be this way is that it is. And so not wasting energy on being in opposition to reality. Right? Reality is what it is, and we don't know what's going to happen. And a lot of the times we are busy telling stories about the future, right? And when they're good stories, we call it hope. And when they're bad stories, we get scared. Right? And so like we imagine some future that's going to happen, and then we get scared, and then we live in this state of terror instead of being right here, right now, right? It's only nothing in this moment would be any different for me if there weren't lockdowns or any of that stuff, right? Because like I've been working from home for a long time, and I would still be sitting right here right now. Even if, like, let's say I would have had an office, there would still be days where I'd be sitting at home and having a call like this right here. So apart from whatever I'm thinking about the state of the world, everything's just fantastic right now. It really is. It really is fantastic. And just always remembering that, because our mind wants to go, you know, tell stories about it and project stuff onto the world. And it makes us unhappy. It makes us less effective at actually affecting change, if that's what we want to do.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and breathing and moving. Breathing and moving, very helpful. Yeah. All right, thank you so much, Rachel. Thank you. All righty, let's see here. I know Robin took off, so not gonna, let me see, Mari. Mari, you still here? Cool. Tom says, I appreciate your responses, Calvin. Though I've been resisting partnerships, it's hitting me now that it's got to be my way because I love connecting in meaningful ways with purposeful people. There we go. Great, man. Love hearing that. That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, Mari, do you want to come on? We can knock that out. She's asking about guys to set price points. Let's see. And Robin was asking about that too. Hey, Mari, how's it going?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Fine. Okay. Nice. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Thanks for being here.
I'm in the process. I'm doubly confused because not only am I trying to figure out Simplero, moving from my therapy to the Simplero site, I'm also having to make myself either an LLC or an S corp. So I got tons of stuff floating in my mind. In the meantime, yes. I've created this course, and it's quite extensive. And I kind of talk to people I've been working with, and they've been giving me an guesstimate about what I should charge. And listening to you earlier, it seems like you might have some of a template or something to think about as I create this, because I haven't really created a sales funnel. I have a bit of a small email list, and I was planning on doing something beforehand. So yes, so for 9 weeks.
Is it your first course?
It's my first course like this. I've never done it. Yeah, I've taught, but not where I've created a course online where people would.
Yeah, and what do you think? What are you thinking of selling it at?
I was thinking of selling it at, well, the price would be 222, but on special, like maybe a coming out would be 111. Can I get this?
Okay. And what are they getting for it? What are their outcomes?
The outcome is for them to feel support and to have insight and to feel better. When you have, it's to understand more about being a daughter of a critical mother. And so, and having like some Facebook lives in there, and I have meditations and exercises, and I'm an art therapist. So I also combine art with, trying to keep the therapy piece out. Because in real, in the other world, I'm an art and trauma therapist. So kind of bringing like, sort of making that more, less therapy-like and more, feel good, understand things, if that makes sense. So and if they take this course, they can continue on. I know it's a very gray area, but they can then come into my therapy group if they meet certain criteria, or they could just be a standalone course to feel better and understand what it's like to have been through that and have getting some insight. And I did talk to a lawyer about how to deal with this gray stuff.
So what is the goal? What is the goal of the thing? Is it to get people into therapy, or is it to make money, to cover your expenses without having to work with people one-on-one? What's your goal?
My goal ultimately is to create passive income. So I would be less and less involved than I would be maybe with the initial. So that is the ultimate goal. But right now, I'm not known in this, I'm known as a therapist, but not as an online person.
So. Right. Okay. What is it, like, what is them going through this, is that gonna sort of heal them of the trauma of having grown up with a critical mother, or is it just sort of the first step on the way? What's the process?
It's the first step. It's to lay a foundation of how to understand and to sort of tolerate some of your early experiences that mm-hmm. may show up in some, you know, symptoms that people don't understand. They don't understand why they can't maintain a relationship. They don't understand why they keep having such a short temper, or they haven't, you know, things like that.
Got it. Self-awareness. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Price point, generally, my philosophy is generally charge more than you think, just because it brings in better quality people generally, and me in the sense that people tend to be less fussy about stuff and complain less about things. It sets an expectation. They're more committed. They're more invested in it. Right. You can invest more in them. So you just better overall experience for everyone. There's a limit to that, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of finding what that is. But what I like to do is think through, you know, if I were to charge a higher amount, what positioning would I need to have, right? It has to be premium. It has to feel premium. It has to like, there has to be, you know, premium value in there. Yeah. But yeah, it's setting the expectation that like, yeah, this is life changing. This is big stuff. I mean, like if this happened to you and you haven't dealt with it yet, like this affects every area of your life. So what is it worth to you to get that, to start clearing that up and get some awareness around what it's done for you? Like $100, $200, $500, $1,000, I don't know.
Wow. Well, I know that I've certainly put so much time and money into it already. I'm charging low because I feel like it's new and
Yeah. And you can do that too. So like, you know, intro price kind of thing. And yeah, you need to get some people in the door and get some case studies and get some examples, but you might already have case studies you probably have plenty of case studies that you can build on, right? That just, sure, they're from a different format, right, but it's still you, and it's still the same problem, the same people, or the same, you know, type of thing that you're working with. So it would be relevant.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to gauge, of course, like
You can also just talk to people, like, what is this worth to you? Like, but make sure that you position it right, right? What is it worth to you to finally start to heal that trauma that came from having an overly critical mother and you know, healing the wounds that have created in you and all of that? Like, what is that worth to you? And ask people. I saw somewhere in a PDF about pricing, which was like, what price would be so low that you wouldn't take it seriously, right? What price would feel like a bargain? What price would feel like it was expensive? It was more than you wished it to be, but it was still worth it. And what price point would be so expensive that it would be out of your reach? Like, so asking people for those four, because that's kind of the range, right? There's price points that are so low, and this varies by different people, right? There are people, I have a friend of years ago, she was doing, you know, body therapy, and she raised her rates from, you know, $100 to $300 a session or something like that. And she got more clients. She got more clients by tripling her prices, because now she got access to a whole different segment that was like, I'm not going to go to like some therapist that only charges $100 an hour. Like, I'm not that kind of person. Right. So, but it is that like from like, okay, this is so cheap, I can't take it seriously, to this is so expensive, I can't afford it. And in between there is a price point that is like, okay, that's, it feels like a stretch, but I would do this because I want the result and I believe in, in the offer. So, and that's kind of where you want to be, right? You want people to be complaining that it's too expensive on a regular basis, but not so much so that, you know, they don't get any customers.
Right. That's interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you, Mari. All right. Last one, Heather. And then I am going to, I'm going to get out of here and see here. Are you here, Heather? Heather's here. How's it going?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome.
Hi. I'm releasing a book in March and I was thinking
congratulations.
Of accompanying it with a course. It's about inclusivity yes. in the restaurant industry.
Nice. All
and right. I don't know how to, like you, like it's a similar pricing problem. I don't know how got much it. To include in a course that would be complementary with the book and how big to go with a more in-depth course.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that's a good question. So like to begin with, I would say, you know, include everything in the book, right? Just give as much value as possible in the book. And then the course is just going to be a different medium, right? Like it's one thing to read something and it's another thing to hear you talk about it. And especially if there's some interactive elements, some Q&A, that kind of stuff, super powerful. And then include in the book, obviously a link to some kind of landing page that you can then change over time, but the link stays the same so that you can change what you're offering. And the first thing I would do is like, is, I don't know, like how many parts or chapters or steps are in the book?
10. It's sort of like three sections and it'll actually be 16 chapters, but it's more like there's 10 chapters.
Got it. Yeah, I understand, yeah. So then you could do, maybe chunk them a little bit so that there's a 5-week thing that runs, give the book a little bit to sell and stuff. And then, you know, just run, chunk them 2 and 2 or whatever makes sense. So you could do it over 5 weeks. You can also do 10 weeks. It's fine. But just, you know, you're going to see probably more drop off over 10 weeks. And then where you, some people just would rather hear you say it. Like, what was it? I heard recently someone was telling about, some marketer was telling about how someone was selling an $800 program, which was written. And then he had an $8,000 upsell to get on a call each week where he would literally read the thing aloud for you. And then there's another call each week also with Q&A. So there are people who will pay to not have to read it. And maybe they don't want exactly an audiobook, but they just want to hear you explain the same concepts. And then Q&A, where they can get some questions answered. I think that would be a phenomenal companion. You don't really have to, it doesn't have to be new material. It doesn't have to be just like telling the stories in your voice and maybe some new stories illustrating the same points and just explaining it the same thing in a slightly different way. But now it's you just being real with people, right? So you don't want to read up from a script. You just want to, like you're telling to a friend, like, here's what matters. Here's what's important. And like you, like they can hear your passion and how much you care and how much you know about this stuff, right? I think that would be great.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And then the price point. Again, so what's the goal here, right? Is it to then bring them into something else? Is it that this is how you actually make money off of the book? Is this a consulting play? What's the
I would like to be a consultant. Yeah. I want to go bigger so the individual can be inspired, but they need the whole team to actually be trained. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would probably sell the course at a fairly low price point, get a lot of people input into it, and keep talking about how important it is to get the whole team on board. And like, and then like, have you done any consulting like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a trained environmental health practitioner, so that's sort of the job.
So then like, you just like drop little nuggets, little teasing, some like, yeah, and this client that I work with, and here's the results, and like, and blah, 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 but not like, just like drop it in there casually, right? Like, so you're kind of seeding, oh, you want to do consulting? Oh yeah, we can talk about that, right? But you're not selling it.
Do you have any tips about consulting? Because I've seen during lockdown some interesting ways of consulting, like a day of Voxer, where they just can have access to you for a whole day for texting.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting if they were to launch a new product, which would be part of this sort of transition to inclusive restaurants.
Yes. I mean, I like the Voxer thing. I wouldn't personally do it. Limit it to a day, like it, depending on how you work, but like you can just say, hey, like, you know, consulting engagement, here's like, you have a process that you take people through, it takes so and so, you know, 4 months, and you're gonna have, you know, strategy meeting with the boss first and clarify, and then you're gonna have these meetings with other people. It's like, map something out that you believe in, and then like in between during this process, and maybe for like 2 months after, the boss can send you Voxers with questions, and you can send them a quick answer back. If that works for your sort of,
it's not something I'd considered until second lockdown.
No, I think it's a great idea. It gives people that sense of security and certainty. There's someone there, right? But at the same time, it's like for me, if someone throws me a question, you know, I'll wait till, like, I won't jump if I'm like in the middle of focused work, I won't jump on it. But when I got a second, I can just like, oh yeah, that's a good question. I just like shoot an answer back, right? Like it helps them get unstuck. Yeah, I think they'd like
to be able to pick my brains for a while they work through it themselves. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Or like quick, and then you can do quick sort of, you know, 10-minute lightning calls or something, where like if it's more than you can just do in a Voxer back and forth, you can just like, all right, like let's just get on a quick call here. But like, you know, it's not going to be like a 2-hour kind of thing, it's just going to be like a short, let's get you moving here, right? And then we can,
I don't like scheduling, so that sounds
me
nice.
Yes, all right, sounds like a plan.
Thanks, that was great.
I like the strategy. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Heather. That concludes the day here. And thank you to everyone who showed up here. And thanks for being here. I hope that this was valuable to you guys. If not, screw you. I don't know. No, if not, I'm sorry. I do my best. No, I'm sure it was valuable to a bunch of you guys. Thank you again for being here. Really appreciate it. You're awesome. And I'll see you guys. I forget when it is, but we have a second one of these guys. So come prepared with all of your questions, business strategy. We'll do a better job communicating, setting expectations here. Business strategy, mindset, personal, spiritual growth, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. So those are the areas. I'll see you guys very soon. Have a fantastic new year, and be well out there. All right, bye guys.